Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 750 of the Overseas Connection podcast. Today is September 10th, 2023. And due to some unforeseen and unfortunate moves by myself right before the podcast, I actually totally jacked up the cameras. And so you're going to get basically in my forehead and Kim will be missing. But she is here. Kim Woods on the podcast.
Hi.
Kim, hello.
Howdy, howdy. Yep, I'm here. But of course, you won't get to see my cool new setup in the background. But
yeah, no, next we week. Won't.
So,
damn it.
I did post a picture on Twitter. So,
yeah, this is 100% my doing. I'm still getting used to the setup Robin created. And so, when you adjust certain camera feeds, because they're all interlocked, they will resize together. And then it does this weird thing where it literally kicked your camera all the way off screen, and but then it was resizing the camera frame. It was a mess. So again,
Gremlins.
My bad. I will fix it in post. Well, I really can't fix the camera situation, but I will be able to fix this for the future. But yeah, for now, it is what it is.
Yep.
Okay. That's out of the way. Hey, if you're new to this podcast, you're thinking, one, looks kind of janky. I get it. Don't worry. It usually is much better. Looks like we have Robin Tate in the background.
Oh, boy.
Yep, he's on YouTube watching away.
Oh.
Speaking of which, Robin not here. He is in Cologne, Germany. I think they're going on a schnitzel and brats tour. I think that's the only thing that we ever want them to go to Germany for. Nothing right. Like Nuremberg or anything like that. The Nuremberg, isn't that the German thing? Nürburgring.
Yeah.
Or Nürburgring. Whatever. Whatever he wants to do.
Nuremberg was like a trial thing or something. So yeah, we don't want that.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he's been called a Nazi on Twitter before. So also not on the show
today.
Pete, he's just tired. Poor guy. He has been working away on his boat, his new castle on the water. And so he basically was just, I don't have the energy. I get it. So we let him have the night off.
Right.
And then it just didn't help that I showed up literally 10 minutes before the show thinking, oh, it'll be easy with the setup because I had done everything already.
Right.
Of course, cameras are always the challenge. And then I just one little tweak and suddenly everything was jacked up.
One tweak too far.
Yeah, go figure. Okay. I'm not sure what I'm saying. Maybe I'm watching a previous show. I don't know. That was kind of weird. Episode 750 was just showing up differently on my screen, which I don't know. Huh. Yeah.
Weird.
Okay.
This could be interesting today, folks.
No kidding. Especially maybe if Robin's trying to stream on his end and he is.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you never know with this group. You never know. Anyway, okay. So what has been going on? We are a video game podcast. We do this every Sunday in the UK, 9 p.m. We do it every Sunday in the West Coast at 1 p.m. And if you happen to be in the Central Time Zone, it's 3 p.m. or the East Coast, 4 p.m.
Right.
Take your pick wherever you are at. That is what happens. There's no birthdays to report because I didn't bother checking on the birthdays. I'm pretty sure there's people having some birthdays right now because it seems like this time of year, everybody, well, their parents all had sex at some point in time around New Year's Eve. And therefore, we have a bunch of kids popping out right about now.
Right.
But no birthdays as far as I know. Anniversary today.
David Hook on September 12th. So.
Well, David Hook, there you go.
Happy September birthday, 12th. David.
Happy birthday, David. Pre-birthday wishes to David. I'm sure he is turning. Let's put him in at, I'm going to be nice. We'll say 40. 40 is a nice middle ground for this podcast. Yeah.
There you go.
My sister just celebrated her 35th anniversary. That was crazy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So go figure.
Right.
But yeah. So that's the stuff out of the way. I guess we could play a birthday song if I could find it. Oh, and if I literally could see it on my screen, I would tell you, yes, we'll play the birthday song, but I am not even seeing the birthday song on my screen right now for my Stream Deck. So you don't get a birthday song. Kim's going to sing you happy birthday right now. Kim, go ahead. Sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear David. Happy birthday to you.
That was
there
lovely.
You go. Yeah.
That was really nice.
No, cats are squalling, so it must not be too bad, you know.
No, not at all. And I'm actually amazed you saying happy birthday.
Yeah, well, you know. And I'm not even drinking, so there you go.
Should you be drinking?
I probably should be, but, you know, I'm not. By the way, your camera's doing that funky thing whenever your hand moves, it, like, focuses in on you and then pulls back out. Yep, there it goes. I think it's been drinking.
Camera's drinking. I think all of us will be drinking. Here, I'll do the universal sign for stop it.
Right.
All right. Where are we at? Where are we at? Let's talk story some time. Story time, Kim.
Yeah. Everyone here loves story time, our favorite time of the day.
Now, I know you totally heard that, Kim.
I sure did.
You hear all of this. Yes. Let's talk story. So what's been going on in your neck of the woods?
Oh, you know, it's another quiet week. I didn't have the kids at all, and I'm still getting used to that. It's weird when you have to watch children, it seems like every day of the week, and then suddenly one day, boom, you don't have to every day. So I'm still kind of getting used to that. It's kind of like that weird empty nest syndrome that, you know, parents have when eventually their kids move away and all that. Well, that's kind of the way this is, and I'm not real sure what to do with myself during the day. I mean, I always got stuff to do, but it's just very weird that at the end of the day, I'm not going, okay, the kids are going to get off the bus, you know, because they're not. Although, we did have a little boo-boo last week. Owen's preschool teacher somehow put him on the bus to go out to my house, but he wasn't supposed to, so Anthony wasn't on that bus. So we kind of had a freaked out 4-year-old on the bus going to Papa's, and, well, he wasn't supposed to. Although he told the bus driver that it was fine, that she could let him off at Papa's, and it'd be no big deal. So, yeah. But all was fine, because the bus driver that Owen's got that comes by my house is the same bus driver I had when I was, like, in junior high. So she knows all of us, like, really well. So she was good. She made him stay on the bus the whole entire route, and then she ran him back to town so Emily could pick him up. But he was just like, no, you could stop at Papa's and let me off. So, of course, I'm having a panic attack because all I can think is my 4-year-old nephew crossing my highway to get to my house. And I'm like, I don't like this idea. But surely I think she would have probably pulled in her driveway and let him off if that did happen. So yeah. That was a little bit of an exciting thing to happen, but no, hell, other than that, you can't see it, but I bought a bookshelf here 2 months ago with the
intention. I can verify this. There is a bookshelf in the background.
Right. You can see it.
Mostly, Kim, the reason why the cameras aren't working is I was really afraid you were going to pull the calendar out. I heard right. Last week's podcast. I was a little fearful, so.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's true. Though. I don't know. I thought it looked a little like it, but whatever. Water under the bridge. Although Robin did agree, he thought the same thing. So anyway, I bought this bookshelf like 2 months ago with the intention of putting it together and setting some of my gaming knick-knacky stuff on it, because at the time my PlayStation and my Xbox all had it on top of it, which is, you know, not ideal, but, you know, when you have limited space,
right,
you do what you can do. So anyway, it's up, and as you can see, all my stuff is on
yes,
it.
I can my see thousand- it. Yes. Yes.
Right. And my 1,000 pounds of books is on the lower shelf there. My subwoofer's underneath that. And it works really well. I'm happy with it. So I got that done. And I cleaned out my closet because I now had space to drag out all my nail polish. And believe it or not, I bet I have, shit, probably 50 bottles of nail polish, if that. So
I believe it.
I spent like an hour cleaning because it was dusty, and I spent an hour cleaning all that up, and you can't see it, but there's some shelves underneath over here, and they're all lined up on that, and I don't think it's all the nail polish, so I probably have more.
I love the fact that you keep saying you can't see it. It's a subtle backhanded dig at me, for the record. I know this.
Right.
By the way, hello, Boomer in the chat.
Hi, Boomer. You showed up.
I saw him snuck in. Right. Yeah, Kim is actually here. I jacked up the cameras. It's all my fault. It really is all my fault.
He knows what I look like. It'll be fine. So, yeah, and other than that, my other birthday present that I ordered months ago showed up. I got you guys know my saga with the Kindle paper. What the hell is that called? That thing, which I like. But I got the, Barnes & Noble version, which is the Nook Glow Light 4 Plus. I haven't really got to try it out yet because I'm still reading a Kindle book.
It's a surprisingly fancy name. The
I know, right?
Nook Glow Light 4.
Yeah. But it's the same as the paper. I keep wanting to call it paper white, but that's not it. But you know what I mean. The paper white, not the paperweight. But anyway, it's kind of the same thing, but it is a little bit bigger than the Kindle one. So, but anyway, I'm tickled with it. I'm going to see how it goes, and I will let people know. But if you're interested in the paperweight, I say go for it, because I've had really good luck with it. My eyes don't water, because you know sometime of the night, if you're like reading or something, sometimes the eye strain, your eyes will start watering, and it's kind of a pain in the ass. I have not had that yet with the e-ink readers. So if you're on the fence about it, I say go for it. Especially if it's Black Friday or something and they have a really good deal on it, you can't lose. So
famous last words, you can't lose. But
maybe. So anyway, that's all. What about me? Or you? Whoever.
Well, what about me? What about you?
Right.
So we got the car. I made it back safely. It was a long day of driving last Sunday. So for those that don't know, I was off the podcast because we had to drive down to the Bay Area, Redwood City in particular, to get the car my wife had bought earlier in the week. But because she bought it on her way home from her trip down there, we didn't have a way to get it back up here. So we had to drive back down to get it. Got it. Car's great. It was really easy. It was a fast turnaround. I mean, we literally got to the dealership right as it opened, signed all the paperwork, got in the car and drove back home. So that was about all said and done. I'll call it 6 hours of driving. We did some minor pit stops, nothing crazy. NFL is back.
Yeah.
First week of football is upon us. Mm-hmm. There have been some surprising games so far in the NFL. Yes. In particular, the Chiefs losing on Thursday night to the Detroit Lions. That was kind of a big deal. But again, it's one game. I think,
and they lost by one damn point.
They lost by one point. Yeah, it's one of those things where I think as much as you can do in the preseason, you still have some little kinks you have to iron out. And that certainly looks like that's the Chiefs situation. They were missing Travis Kelce too. So
exactly. And they had rookies in there. So let's face it. It's their first year. It's the NFL. They're going to be a little, and for whatever reason, Tony probably shouldn't have been in there. Apparently he didn't get all his practice in, but whatever. I put up with the bullshit since Thursday that, the Chiefs lost, blah, blah. And they make it sound like a fucking blowout, and it was one fucking point. So anyway, I'm sending
devastating loss. Devastating loss.
I know, right? I'm sending them duct tape gloves, though, to the receivers, so that way next time they can catch the ball.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, if just one of those catches is caught, they probably have a very different turnout. But, that's the way football works,
Exactly.
They say it's a game of inches. It's not referring to anything in the dressing room. It is, all right. So football back. All of my fantasy football teams have finished being drafted. We actually did the last one last Monday, and I am set. Cross fingers. I actually have some decent teams. It might be a good year for me. The final thing, Kim, I felt like I was hanging out in your town. Friday night, we met up with some good friends of ours up in a place called Georgetown, which is about an hour north of here. It is an hour north of here going off the beaten path. You take a very windy road into the mountains to get to this place called Georgetown. Mm-hmm. Cool little town. It's a mining town. They have a hotel that is basically a historical site that is claimed to be haunted. Funny enough, within the hotel, if you look in the main bar dining room area is all in the bottom, and mm-hmm. they were doing karaoke that night. And so that was part of the draw for us to go up there and meet up. But in the dining or in the bar, if you look up in the corner front part of the hotel area, or the bar ceiling, mm-hmm. you'll see a bell on a rope hanging from the ceiling. Well, the rope actually goes up into the ceiling, and it actually was a little prank that the original establishment created when they tied that rope to the main bed of the quote-unquote honeymoon suite. Mm-hmm. And so anytime somebody was doing their business in the honeymoon suite, the bell would start ringing. And of course, everybody in the bar would start cheering, that kind of thing. So really funny stuff. Had a great time. It was established in 1789, I think. So it's got some nice historical vibes to it. We went up and snuck up into the hotel part just to kind of look around. And very similar to like the Winchester Mystery House, they have a stairwell that leads up into the third story mm-hmm. that is just boarded over and locked up with a padlock.
Oh.
And so it's kind of like, so what's up there? And I'm assuming it's storage and stuff, but
right.
What if it's not?
Right.
What if they're trying to keep something? Yeah. So it had a very creepy vibe. When I saw that, I was like, yeah, no, I don't need to explore this hotel area anymore. We can just go back down to the bar.
I'm done. Yeah.
But yeah, and I say, you know, in your neck of the woods, Kim, only from the standpoint of I felt very out of place amongst the locals that all were at the bar. It did have some semblance. A few people looked like they could have been just straight up out of Deliverance. There were another few people that looked like they were the local meth lab dealers.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, it was a very interesting group of individuals, but it was still fun. We had a great time, and to be honest, everybody was super nice. And I really didn't, I mean, outside of looking like I didn't fit, mm-hmm. nobody gave me a hard time. So
that's good.
It was fun.
With you and your frou-frou drinks. I know.
What did I drink? No, I was drinking Coors Lights. They did not have any Michelob Ultra, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's kind of to be expected in that kind of a, you know,
right.
off the beaten path. And then I switched to Red Bull because I had to drink home, drive home. I had to drink home too, but you know, so yeah, so I wanted to, cause it was, it's one of those drives that is not, it's not an easy drive. Even during the day, there's a lot of windiness to it.
Right.
And local people, they whip around those roads like there's no tomorrow. Cause they know.
Right.
But when you're driving at night, you know, you've got your high beams going, you're coming into a corner and the speed limit is quote unquote 55 miles an hour on this highway. But you're getting into hairpin turns that are like 15 miles. And when they say 15 miles, they mean 15 miles an hour. So a lot of those back and forth, you know, switchback type of road swings. And so it made for a more, you know, kind of gripping the steering wheel a little extra tight as we're driving home.
Yeah. And depending on what the critter situation is, you know.
Exactly. That was the other thing. Mm-hmm. That was the other thing. So. I've already had a deer hit me once. I did not want to experience that again.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand that one.
Okay. I'm just catching up on the chat real quickly, and now I understand what's going on there.
Okay.
But yeah, so that was it for story time. A pretty mundane week. Work. So some travel in the future for me. Work has been a bit of a ball ache, pain in the ass customers,
right?
Both prospective customers as well as existing customers, and it's the existing ones that are actually the worst, in my opinion. I mean, the disappointment of not getting a deal, that sucks. And I vented on our mm-hmm. chat because I literally had a customer. They did the typical thing. They're like waiting to send out their final decision on awarding the project to the Friday evening before a long weekend. And all they're doing when they do that, they probably knew this decision on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
but they held it till Friday. And then they send it out Friday evening, right before the, you know, the end of the day. And in their mind, I think somehow they're thinking this is a good thing.
Right.
You know, that, oh, it won't be as bad for them if this happens. No, it's twice as worse. Because then all you do all weekend long is you think about that deal and you losing out on it. Instead of them making that decision a day or so earlier, when they probably finalized who won, and just send that off and give us a day to digest it while we're actually being able to be occupied by something else at work. So yeah, I was not very happy with my client that did that to us. I was just like, really? Come on. It's a long weekend and you're going to drop this on a Friday night.
That's a
might
move.
Be easier for you and your conscience to do this, but it's a shitty practice. And if you do this, if you're listening to this and this is something that you thought was a good practice, no, you're wrong. Stop doing it. It's bad. Okay, let's talk video games.
Shall we play a game?
I want to play a game.
You are one pathetic loser.
All right. Again, if you are listening to this, this is not going to affect you. But if you're trying to watch the stream and you're thinking, why the heck is Greg all zoomed in and then Kim's picture is just completely missing from the screen, it's because I screwed up. I monkeyed with the settings right before we went on and jacked it up beyond repair and just didn't have time. And instead of me trying to tweak it and fumble around with it and delay the start of the show, I thought, no, our community comes first. We need to just start. That's in my head, at least. That's how this all went down, Kim.
Right.
Now, we are going to talk video games.
Right.
A couple bigger-esque games, if you will.
Right.
But let's get some of the smaller stuff out of the way.
All right.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Yep. I am within one level of Tony. Tony's 145. So I'm 144.
Is this becoming a rivalry?
Yes.
Nice. Well,
hold on. You know.
Maybe a little one-on-one shipment rivalry?
Yeah, well, maybe. Although I'm afraid he probably would kick my ass, but whatever, I'd be up for it. So, but yeah, I'm within catching up with his little butt. So I'm gonna screenshot it later and send it to him and go neener neener neener. But anyway,
I like it.
So yeah, I was a masochist and we played a lot of Shipment 24/7. So
I don't know how you do that, for the record.
I like the pain, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't bother me. So I don't know.
God, it's just chaos.
Maybe that's why I don't like it. I don't know. And I did buy a new bunny suit, so I have more bunnies. So
thank God for that.
Right?
Thank God they keep selling bunny suits at first-person shooters. Nothing screams tactics and, you know, and military first-person shooter than cat ears and bunny suits running around the battlefield.
Oh, yep. So.
Okay. And then Stray, you continue your love of cats.
Right? It just keeps going. I actually decided to fire it up on the Xbox because, of course, it's out on the Xbox now. And I believe now I'm actually farther on the Xbox than I am on the PlayStation. So now, yes.
May I ask a question?
Okay.
I think I know the answer to this, but I'm not positive.
Okay.
So you have bought Stray on two different platforms?
Well, technically, though, technically the PlayStation, they gave it to you for being a PS Premium member. So I can't actually buy it on the PlayStation, I guess, until my premium is up because it just says I already own it. So.
Okay.
Yep.
But you did purchase it on the Xbox, so you
have
two versions of it.
Yes.
Anything significantly different, or is it basically the same game both?
No, basically the same. Basically the same game. So, you know, I enjoyed the game, and it was out on Xbox, and everybody knows that I'm kind of an Xbox, I guess, fangirl, I guess you say. That is my preferred console, anyway.
Yeah, I'd like to say it that way. It's your preference, because I don't think you've ever come across as fangirlish with regards to the Xbox or whatever platform you play on.
I just like the controller better. And, I mean, the new PlayStation controller is better than previous versions, but I still like the Xbox controller much better.
I bought the PlayStation DualSense. I think it's a fantastic controller. I have yet to use it, but I bought one. So okay. So I want to get into two different games. And this is the game that nobody is going to see coming, but I'm actually really curious about it. So it's called Shadow Gambit, The Cursed Crew.
Yes.
And I'm going to pull up some gameplay on it right now. So tell me about this game, Kim, because I'm very interested as to what's going on here with this.
Okay, this game is coming from, now I'm going to try to pronounce this without sounding stupid, from Mimimi Studios. And if you that name sounds familiar, it's because here a couple weeks ago, they announced they were closing down. And that's kind of how I found out about this game, was because they put it out. And it got apparently rave reviews. I mean, everybody seemed to like it. So it was kind of a shock that the studio was closing down, but they want more home time. And I guess they've kind of decided they can't get enough home time and run a gaming studio at the same time. It's hard to, you know, separate it all out. But anyway, so I thought, well, it's on the Xbox. There is a trial, so if you want to try it, you know, download the trial. But yeah, it's really good. It's you're a bunch of, well, for right now, you're only the one pirate. But anyway, it's set in like the, I guess you call it the Caribbean. I can't remember what they called it exactly. But it's sort of a stealth strategy game. And you're sitting there probably thinking to yourself, but Kim, you don't like stealth games. But this is really good. They do it in such a way that it makes for someone like me who does not do very well stealth. I'm more of like bust in, guns a-blazing, kill everyone, and then go back out again. But they make it in such a way that it's even easier for somebody like me to get a hang on. And basically what it is you rescue a sentient pirate ship who's, I guess, ex-captain or what I'm going to call it. I'm going to describe this really badly, but I do know what I'm talking about. Is, I think, dead or something. And anyway, he's buried his treasure somewhere. And the pirate ship knows where it's buried, and they will tell you where it's buried. But there's also the Spanish Inquisition is roaming around. And, of course, they're all busting in on pirates. They're, you know, they're trying to kill them, wipe them off the earth. So you have to deal with the Inquisition. And anyway, so you board this pirate ship. You save it from the Inquisition, and it will show you, supposedly it will show you where the captain's treasure is. Okay. Well, the thing is, you're kind of dead yourself. But you've been, I guess, reanimated is the right word. So you have certain abilities that you can do, which is helpful. But it's like I want to say the stealth is kind of like a blink thing where you don't necessarily have to creep up on them. But it's like you trigger a button and like you blink and flash and you're right there next to somebody and you can take them out and then drag them off into like a bush or somewhere so you don't signal the rest of them. Okay. And the cool thing is the ship gives you the ability to capture a memory. So if you go up against, like, say there's four of them there, and you try to blink around and take them all out and say something happens and they spot you, if you manage to save a memory before you took them on, you can go back to that memory and start all over again.
Okay. Interesting. So I was going to say, so this, it's isometric in its appearance. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the PC footage of it right now. It's very point and clicky in terms of moving. I'm trying to remember that it was Shadow Tactics was the ninja game that was very similar to this.
I believe they are the studio behind Shadow Tactics.
That would make sense because you have the vision cones of the enemies that you have to avoid. It's not turn-based, so it's all real time, but there is kind of a turn-based vibe to it.
Right.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And on Xbox, it's not so point and click. With Xbox, it's more controller based. So
I was just going to say, so do you direct control the direction of your character with thumbsticks, or is it point and clicking kind of making a move to those locations?
Yeah, it's thumbsticks. So I imagine maybe on PC it's probably point and click sort of thing. But on the Xbox, it's thumbsticks and whatnot.
Okay.
And I haven't got very far into it because obviously it's just a trial and I think they only give you 2 hours. But I think you will eventually down the road have a chance to recruit a crew with also different abilities. And then you can set them to kind of do different things while you're doing something else. So, it's $40 right now, and not to sound like a cheapskate, but I'm kind of waiting to see if it'll go on sale, and then I'll probably buy it. But that's kind of, in this two-hour little trial thing, that's how much I've grown to like this thing. And like I said, I'm not a stealth person at all, but it makes it real easy to, you know, jump in and do it with these memory things, because you don't feel like you have to start all over to get back to where you were at. So, it's kind of neat, and it's kind of quirky. Which I think is kind of also up my alley. It's kind of quirky.
So does it have a little humor in the writing, or is
I'd say so. Plus, you can't really see it on the screen, but the pirate that you are playing has a sword stuck in her chest, but she can pull that sword out at any time and use it to kill the Inquisition. So it's kind of a quirky little thing. So Shadow Gambit, give it a shot. It's definitely a Phil game, I think, in a lot of ways, but
this is a Philism game. Okay.
It definitely is a Philism game, but I like it. Like I said, I enjoy it. And so give it a shot. There's a trial.
Okay.
You're not out anything. So.
All right. Well, there we go. So something different. And that's a game. I'll just say this right now.
Right.
I have always been drawn to these games. And yet I think there's something about the real-time strategy element to it.
Right.
That I don't, I want it to be turn-based. Desperately want these games to be turn-based. I wish they would create a mode, if you will, that you could go turn-based or real-time. Are you going to be eaten by something? Was there something by your head?
Well,
suddenly?
Either that or Dad just exploded in the living room, and I'm not sure which.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. On that, I'm going to move forward. all right. So we know I've been playing a little bit of Baldur's Gate 3. I also had the early access to Starfield. Yes. And of course, timing, you know, I get the early access to Starfield, and then life just is like, no, you are not going to be here playing games anytime soon. So my challenge, of course, is finding the time, carving out the time. And I've had some little snippets here and there late at night. But honestly, I've been so exhausted. It has been pretty limited. I'm now at like level 6, but I want to talk real quickly kind of about some of the differences between Baldur's Gate 3 and Starfield, because I feel like a lot of people are trying to compare the two games, and they just aren't, they're not the same. Right. So for those that are not familiar, you know, Baldur's Gate 3 is made by Larian Studios, who made Divinity Original Sin 1 and 2. If you are familiar with that game or that series,
yep,
you are going to be very familiar with how Baldur's Gate 3 plays. It's an isometric, turn-based, combat fantasy role-playing game. A lot of different dialogue choices within I want to say it's called a CRPG for those that know the lingo. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of turn-based options for your dialogue tree, and they're all very well voice acted in Baldur's Gate 3. But I find the real difference between Baldur's Gate 3 and the Divinity series, it's really kind of twofold. One, Baldur's Gate 3 has the full D&D license behind it. Mm-hmm. So they are able to draw on all of this already very well fleshed out character systems, monster systems, and honestly, turn-based, turn-based combat, mm-hmm. but turn-based systems, because some of it isn't always combat, but it's all designed very well from a tabletop perspective. And for a CRPG game, when you take that and just transition it, if you want to just make a D&D experience, they're doing a great job of this, because take a step back. For the longest time, people said, oh, we want D&D games as a video game. We want that D&D experience as a video game. But video game developers over and over again always thought, we need to hide the dice rolls. We need to put the dice rolls kind of hidden behind the scenes, because that makes D&D a little boring. It makes it, it's time consuming. It's not as fun as if it's a bit more action oriented. And that's been the mentality approach to everything up until really the Divinity series and some other, turn-based strategy RPG games. But the dice rolls were still very much behind the scenes. This is probably the first video game I've seen in a long time that put those dice rolls, all of them, front and center. So anytime you are making a attack roll, a persuasion check, saving throws, you make the dice rolls on screen, and you see the dice roll around on screen, and it's just very front and center. And that's the real big, if you ask me, big change between Divinity and Baldur's Gate.
Right.
Outside of that, you still have the same character perspectives. You still have the same kind of character dialogue trees and different side quests and a very expansive kind of universe that you can hunt around in. But you still have what I found to be a little bit of an issue, in that you walk around an environment and you kind of can click everywhere or move your cursor everywhere to highlight things, or in some instances kind of hit the vision button and you'll see what's highlighted that can be touched and kind of you maybe experiment with it. and it'll usually have some kind of value within the game. But the rest of the background and stuff is very static.
Right.
Fast forward to Starfield. Starfield is not that game. Starfield is an action RPG game, and I'll just fire up some gameplay walkthrough on screen. This is kind of the opening moments of the game. It is a Baldur's Gate, This is a Bethesda game through and through. So if you have played Skyrim, if you have played any of the Morrowind series, Fallout games, you're going to feel right at home here. They do the kind of, when you're talking to characters, it's more front and center on the screen. You have your dialogue choices similar to Baldur's Gate, and what you're going to have some persuasion checks here and there. But all of the role-playing elements all happen behind the scenes. You're never going to see a dice roll on screen. It's all going to feel more action game-esque, if you will. And so, you know, that is a big difference to me. And look, this is a personal choice. I think if you want that turn-based RPG experience, Baldur's Gate 3 is fantastic.
Right.
A lot of people are not going to want that. A lot of people like that more action-oriented RPG experience, and that's what Starfield is. It's a Skyrim in space is probably the best equivalent. And then Fallout Tactics have definitely kind of come in and helped layer some stuff in. So all of the gunplay, you know, there is definitely some familiarity from a Fallout perspective, but there's no VAT system. There's no pause in combat other than if you go to literally, you know, your weapon selection wheel, then you can change out your weapon. And that will kind of pause action for a split second. It's well done. I like the story. There are moments where this game graphically shines. It looks fantastic. And then there's other moments where you're maybe having a conversation with an NPC character and you're going to be like, okay, that doesn't look that great. And you know, that is, again, atypical of a Bethesda game.
Right.
So, and they do very much the Bethesda thing. With the character creation, you go through an opening sequence that is very kind of, I don't want to call it ride along because, you know, in Skyrim, you had the moment where you're getting on the cart and you're cruising along the cart. Here you have this open sequence where you're in this mine and there's going to be an event that happens that, you know, basically you touch the artifact and that will kind of knock you out, so to speak. And then the next thing you do is you wake up in the infirmary and they're like, do you even remember what you look like? And then you character create yourself. So again, Bethesda RPG, that's what it does. But one of the things I love about this game, and I do very much enjoy my time with Starfield so far, is the creative aspect to it. There are so many different systems and so many different ways in which you can manipulate things to try and get around the in-game rules. So, for instance, and this is a video I saw on it was Twitter, probably I saw it, but somebody was showing how they were at a poker table and there were a bunch of credit chips on the table, right? All these people were gambling and it was a pause moment. And so if you try to take the credit chips off the table, you'll be accused of stealing. And hey, Lord, how you doing? Just saw Lord pop into the chat. Just want to say a howdy, howdy. Yes, I've screwed up the cameras. It's my fault. I know. and we're not going to try and fix them. We're just going to carry through. We're going to power forward. We're talking Starfield. But anyway, so in this moment, you're at this poker table. And the creative solution this person did is they grabbed a bucket, because you could pick up almost any object in the game or move objects around. And it's staggering how much stuff you can pick up and either pick up a drop or move around. But he takes a bucket and he puts it to the side of the table. And then he picks up the card shuffle, the card holder where all the playing cards would go. He starts pushing that on the table and pushing all of the credit chips into the bucket. And he literally takes all of the credit chips off the table just by pushing them into this bucket. And then he picks up the bucket and moves the bucket into an out of sight room where nobody can see, and basically made off with, like, you know, $5,000 worth of credits, and wasn't, you know, it wasn't considered stealing. So it's that kind of creativity that you can do in these games that always, you know, I'm always amazed at how just how creative people get within this game. The shipbuilding is a whole added element to this game. So let me take a step back. You will create your spacer, for lack of a better way to put it. You're part of this organization that will search the stars in an effort to find these artifacts. And there's a bigger story to that that I haven't really even uncovered yet myself. Within that, you get all kinds of loot. And this game, if I'm going to put a knock on it, it is not there's not a lot of good tutorial handholding. It kind of throws you into the deep end pretty quick, and all the systems are coming at you. And there's no real good tutorials on a lot of it to explain how best, like, crafting and modding your weapons. Go look up a YouTube video to find out how to do that, because the game isn't going to be terribly helpful on the right best ways to be doing that. Inventory management, again, it's interesting because at first you're thinking, okay, I only have myself to carry inventory. I can take it back to my ship and I can dump it into my ship. But along the way, you will have companions. You can actually transfer stuff to your companions. You also, when you are in within a certain distance of your ship, just transfer stuff off your person into the ship as well. The ship has unlimited inventory, as far as I know. You, on the other hand, are going to be gated by your characteristics, your attributes. The other thing this game doesn't do compared to the traditional RPG is you don't have the typical strength, intelligence, charisma stats. All of that is you don't put any points into it. So basically what you will do is you will pick some skill sets, and the skill sets are going to be in different areas, like, you know, gun wielding, different types of guns. You'll have skill sets for that. You'll have skill sets for kind of a tech tree area. There'll be skill sets around your persuasion. But things like strength, you will kind of level up as you play doing certain things. And oftentimes when you unlock a skill set, the first thing that's going to get unlocked to level up is doing a challenge of, say, you know, run 5 miles, you know, with over encumbrance, and that will increase your oxygen levels. So it's things like that. That's how the skills and stats system works on the backside of it. It is not a game. So again, they talked about you can take off and land at any point on a planet, and it is true, but it's not that seamless transition. You don't just fly down from orbit and navigate the surface of the planet. You will, from orbit, pick a spot you want to land on. They'll give you a quick little cutscene, and then you are landing onto the planet. You can, in theory, fly pretty much anywhere. You can explore anywhere on the planet by picking those different spots. But in doing so, again, you're going to initiate little transition scenes to kind of just go there as opposed to fly there. There are no vehicles in the game either on the planet side. They use jetpacks, so that will help you get around. I'm not too bothered by it right now, but in terms of exploring planets where you're just sourcing, and that can be a little bit burdensome. You see the selecting profile stuff right now on screen. It's pretty detailed, but also I feel like some of it is a little bit kind of limiting, or the tweaking of it is a little nuanced. But again, you can get a character to be close to, or however you want it to look. I ended up trying to create Raylan Givens from Justified. That was my goal. So that is my character. For once, I went with Raylan Givens. That's my guy. He's a bounty hunter as his background, and a USC colonist is one of the traits I gave him. And all the traits, for the most part, have a plus and a minus to them. You know, you might get more oxygen. Like, there's extrovert and introvert. If you're an extrovert, when you are around other people, companions in the game, you have more oxygen and stamina, so to speak, because oxygen is the new stamina meter in this game. If you are an introvert, when you are by yourself, you'll have more oxygen. And when your companions around, you'll have less. So just little interesting tweaks like that. And so overall, I'm enjoying the game. Is it a perfect game? By no means. There are some little visual glitchiness I've seen. Like I put on a baseball cap and I saw some of my hair poking through the baseball cap at one point. And, you know, those things, it's not deal breaking by any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
Doesn't look great, mind you, but clipping things like that, I'd love to see cleaned up. I haven't had any crazy glitches. Every once in a while, you know, I'm, because it's a Bethesda game, I'm always worried and I'm kind of looking for that. But at one point, I thought I stumbled into one, but it turns out I just was trying to talk to the wrong person to get the side quest to move forward. I've also been told and heard a lot of people saying, mainline the story. Mm-hmm. Go through the story, get all of your, because you, there's Game Plus on this. So New Game Plus basically starts it all over again, but you don't have to do the main storyline missions. You can actually skip them altogether. And then you can just venture through, you know, the star fields, if you will, with all of your perks and your bonuses. You will lose all your inventory on New Game Plus. So that does kind of suck. So all of the ships you build in your main playthrough, your first time, will be gone. But again, this is a game that literally you can capture a ship by boarding it in space and killing the crew and taking over the ship. You know, that is definitely a route to go on getting a new ship. So, a question from Lord, what would I give it out of 10 so far? I think I'd be in that 8, 8.5. I think that's a fair score for this game. I don't see this as being game of the year for me. Nor do I see Baldur's Gate 3 being game of the year for me. Hmm. Ironically, I still think back to when I first played Hi-Fi Rush, mm-hmm. and just the pure joy and excitement I got from that game and how polished it felt, and how polished it is, I should say, it just resonates with me. And neither one of these games have given me that kind of like joyous, like, oh my God, this is just a blast moment. It takes a while. Starfield takes a little while to ramp up. But I have been enjoying it more and more as I play through it. So who knows? My opinion may change on this. But as of right now, I'm in that. And I think 8.5 is the fair score for this. So right. I think its Metacritic score is probably fair. I know there were a couple people that scored this at like a 5.8. And that's just bullshit. That's somebody looking for hits. But I also don't necessarily see this as a 10 out of 10 game. I think this is a game that if you have access to it, you should play. Mm-hmm. It should be on your kind of must try play list. And the good news is Game Pass will give you that as an avenue. Mm-hmm. Or if you don't want it on Game Pass and you're going to buy it on Steam, I'm sure eventually there'll be a Black Friday Steam sale or something up. You can buy it on the cheap there.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so Starfield... highly, you know, it's a good game. I recommend it for sure. Will it be for everybody's, you know, it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. And I think those people that did not enjoy Bethesda RPGs before, this is not going to be your game because it is a Bethesda RPG at the end of the day. So, any questions from you, Kim? I know I kind of rambled on there a little bit about Starfield.
I'm still on the fence. I don't know if I want to. I like RPGs, but I'm more of a Dungeons and Dragons sort of RPG player. Right. So I don't know if I'm, but who knows? It's like I said, it's on Game Pass. So yeah. I may give it a shot.
And I will say in terms of combat,
right.
The game lets you go between third person and first person pretty liberally. Basically it's kind of like, the old Halo anniversary game where you push the back button and you're going to flip between first, third, and an extended third view a little farther out. I flip between those all the time. So, I think settling in on first person when I go into combat.
Right.
The guns feel great to me. The controls, however, I would say the controls do lack. It's not even they lack. It's that they're a bit twitchy.
Right.
On the default. So I ended up and I adjusted some of my Y and X sensitivity, and that helped out a ton. But I do like first person shooting. I think that's where this game excels when it comes to combat. Right. Although you can use third person and do kind of the PUBG thing and kind of be able to angle the camera to see around the corner a little bit better and know where the enemies are. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that would be my suggestion also. Go in and tweak your controller settings from the get-go because likely they were just too twitchy for me.
Right.
And I felt when I was trying to control things, it just didn't feel good. And then I lowered the sensitivity and I'm like, oh, okay, no, this feels good now. So, right. But yeah, so that is Starfield. Mm-hmm. Don't think there's really much more to say about that. So let's talk about some news. If I can find my news jingle.
Here is the fucking news.
All right. So news, Kim, mm-hmm. We have a plethora of news.
I see that.
Now, we are at the beginning of the month. I know we didn't really go through the games coming up because I know you guys talked about them last week.
Right.
But there's a smattering of news here.
Right.
I will let you weigh in or weigh out depending upon what you see here. So alrighty. First story up, Starfield, 6 million players after launch. And so I guess it was in the initial early access.
Right.
They had over a million concurrent at one point between Steam and the Xbox platforms. Impressive. But then they launched into Game Pass and they officially tweeted out saying over 6 million people had played the game by the end of its first official day. That's some pretty great numbers. And also that tells me there's some major Game Pass uptick.
Right.
I guess here's a question I have for you, Kim. Do you think this will move the needle on subscriptions and hardware sales?
Yeah, because I mean, I've already seen some people on Twitter that's already went out and bought an Xbox just to play Starfield. Or maybe they've upgraded from the Xbox One to a Series X to play Starfield. So I think we're going to, I don't know if it's going to be a big, great amount, but I have already seen people that have, you know, went out and upgraded Xboxes and whatever to play Starfield. So.
Okay. That's fair. You have to think it will, obviously Game Pass, I think, is the real driver there.
Right.
And I'm wondering if PC Game Pass sees a major boost. Cause I feel like the console Game Pass was kind of getting a little bit static.
Right. Yeah, because there wasn't a real big major release there. And I mean, honestly, with the price of games being $70 a pop, if they're going to throw it up on Game Pass and you can play it for, you know, whatever the game subscription is, you know, $70 and then like, what, $17 I think it is a month now. You know, I think I'm going to be paying the $17 to play it as opposed to the $70. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see the impact. I think it's going to have a pretty significant impact on Game Pass, in particular the hardware side. I don't know. The I forgot the Series S 1 terabyte version, the all black S, is coming out. I guess it launched last week, so that'll be interesting to see if that gets a helps move the needle on the hardware sales. I haven't really heard much about it since I saw it was out. So who knows?
No, but I did recommend it to Boomer the other day because we were talking because he's still got a one and. We were talking like, you know, you're going to have to upgrade at some point. So, if you don't want to go full blown, you know, Series X, I would definitely put the money down for the newer S because one bigger hard drive for a start. And that's definitely
and it's plus. Black.
Yes.
I prefer my hardware to be black. I don't really like white consoles.
Yeah, that's not my biggest thing with the PlayStation is it's white and I have cats and of course dust and it's a pain. So.
You can buy the covers, they come off.
I know that because I had to take it off to put the extra hard drive, the extra, you know, in it. And that was a real pain in the ass, and I swore never to do it again.
So. Okay, fair enough. Well, I mean, you could get yourself a nice, cool Roblox skin, probably for your PlayStation, because next month. And I just thought this was on there already, but Roblox is finally coming to the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 in October.
I'm like you. I thought it was already there.
Yeah. I mean, that's a, I won't call it a Minecraft. It's not Minecraft, but it's in that, appeal.
Right.
Minecraft appeal. So weirdly, and this is not part of what I posted on our news feed, but apparently the Roblox is going to introduce a 17 plus section
for
17 plus adults to be able to hang out. I just feel like this is opening Pandora's box into something you don't want to have happen.
Right. Yeah. I don't. I mean, I'm paranoid now with my nephew being on it, and, you know, because I've heard the stories, and it's just like,
I just feel like this is going to be a beacon for one young kids to flock to it, because this is a place we can't be, supposedly. Right. And then the people that want those young kids to flock to it are going to be like, I will flock to this.
Right.
Anyway, I'm guessing that's going to get shut down pretty quick. I bet that doesn't survive long.
I wouldn't be surprised.
All right. Gotham Knights has been rated by the ESRB for the Nintendo Switch. I think this is a great game to come to the Switch. I actually had it on, or I have it for my Steam Deck. Gotham Knights, I think it unjustly got just raked over the coals.
Right.
It was a good game. It wasn't a great game, and it wasn't reinventing the wheel. It very much was kind of trying to be, you know, it's kind of the same. I'd say, hey, if you have a Switch, or for that fact, if you have one of the other consoles where it's out and you find it on a sale, I think you pick it up, because I think you're going to be actually pretty happy with it. I don't think you're going to be all that disappointed.
Yeah, cool.
Racing. all right. Apparently, Xbox is really now, like, the marketing spin is in full force. One, I've seen a gazillion, and I do mean gazillion. I'm not exaggerating. It's been a gazillion. I counted every one of them. Starfield commercials. And
oh, my God, yes.
They are all over the place. So everybody worried about, are they going to market this game? 100% yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm sure on Sunday Night Football tonight we will get a Starfield commercial at some point.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Maybe too.
But to go along with this, Kim, they're going to be in Tokyo at the Tokyo Game Show. And Phil Spencer basically announced that they will be this was Jarrett West, who's their chief marketing officer, not Phil Spencer. So we also share some exciting new games coming to Xbox Game Pass, which continues to grow with great content from our teams all around Asia. Clearly, we should be seeing, you know, they're trying to make inroads into the Japanese market, Japanese games. I'd like to see them actually tap into some of these Chinese makers as well, though, because there are some games coming out of China that look great and that currently are exclusive for PlayStation, just because they put in the legwork to do that.
Right.
But if you are so curious to check it out, on the 21st of September at 2 a.m. Pacific, 5 a.m. Eastern, which means 4 a.m. your time, Kim.
Oh, my.
Or 10 a.m. for our British listeners, they can check out a viewable version of the Tokyo Game Show for Xbox on the official YouTube channel or select channels in multiple languages.
I'll write for a recap on that one. 4 a.m. is a little early for me.
And lastly, in the news section, just because I wanted to have some PlayStation positivity.
Right.
If you felt like you missed out on Horizon Forbidden West when it first launched, and then the DLC came out, and you're like, I just wish I had a complete edition of this game. Well, fear not. It has been spotted in the ratings board. There will be a Horizon Forbidden West complete edition coming soon. When we can expect it, we don't know. I suspect we're going to get a PlayStation showcase at some point in September.
Right.
Leading up to Spider-Man 2's launch. In which case they'll reveal this. And everybody can breathe that sigh of relief that you can now get the complete edition. Likely, probably still $70. That's my guess.
Probably. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
All right. That is it for the news. But Kim.
Yes.
We do have some new releases to talk about.
We do. And actually have quite a few. I'm kind of surprised. More than we had last week anyway. So anyway, your new releases for September 10th through the 17th are Eterna Knights for the PS5, PS4, and PC on September 12th. Nor Play With Your Food. I'm serious. I didn't make that one up. PS5, PS4, PC, and Mac on September 12th. Super Bomberman R2, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC on the 12th as well. I think Pete likes Bomberman, so there you go, Pete. Gunbrella for the Switch and PC, September 13th. And for you Pokemon fans, we have Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, The Hidden Treasure of Area Zero, the Teal Mask. Can they make those titles any bigger?
I swear to God. No, they can't.
Right?
But they will.
Oh,
they
right. Will. Pretty soon it'll be a book. For the Switch, September 13th, Ad Infinitum for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and the PC, September 14th. Axolotl for the PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, September 14th. Deceit 2 for the PC, September 14th. Dune Spice Wars for the PC, September 14th. Monster Hunter Now for iOS and Android, September 14th. Monster Hunter. Game I tried to get into, just couldn't. Solar Ash for the Xbox Series X and S and Xbox One for September 14th. The Crew Motorfest, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PS4, Xbox One, and PC, September 14th. Thunder Ray, whatever that is. PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, the 14th as well. Oh, God. Baton Kados 1 and 2 HD Remaster. Whatever the heck that is. It's out on the Switch September 15th. And those are your new releases.
All right.
Baton Kados, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking it's not Baton.
No.
Baton Kados. Yeah.
Nah, it's Baton, yeah.
Yeah, don't know. Anyway. Dune Spice Wars feels like a Philism game. I want to say this is going to be an RTS. It just feels like an RTS game. I haven't seen any footage from it. It may not be at all, but I'm putting my flag on Philism game.
Right. I knew there's a Dune game coming out, but I don't know if that's the one I saw. So
it might be. Anyway. The new Dune movie, by the way, Dune 2 looks phenomenal. Saw some trailers on that. Oh, I cannot wait.
Right.
I'm a fan of the remake for sure. All right. Well, Kim.
Yes.
Kind of a short show. That's okay.
Yeah,
because you know what? There was two of us. There was not a whole lot outside of Starfield to talk about.
Right.
Although we did have the new and exciting gameplay and talking about, you know, Shadow Gambit, the Cursed Crew. Love that. Kim, are you going to be playing Modern Warfare on Fridays?
Because I have a new gun that came with my new hip hop rabbit suit. And whenever I shoot it and kill someone, there's a mic drop. And I mean, it's a gigantic mic that falls and it does the mic drop sound. It's hilarious.
Now I understand why you bought it.
Yeah. So, yes, I will play, you know, Modern Warfare if anyone wants to come along. I have, you know, great fun with it, especially playing, you know, Shipment 24.
We had a blast last time we played. Right? We did commit to trying to play Fortnite. However, we have yet to play Fortnite.
But the thing of it is, Starfield came out. So I wasn't exactly all shocked. I knew people would come out and play Starfield. So I don't blame them one bit.
No, that derailed me on Friday. I shouldn't even say it derailed me on Friday. Work has derailed me the entire week. Our Halo night got disrupted on Wednesday. We'll look to get that back going this coming Wednesday. But for sure, the Friday dipping our toes into either Modern Warfare or Fortnite no build mode. Just saying, it could happen. You know what is going to happen? We're going to be back next week. On this channel.
Indeed.
Right here.
Yes.
Talking about probably Starfield again.
Probably.
Let's be honest. We'll probably talk about Nuremberg trials and Robin being trials is not. No, wait, no, sorry. Nuremberg Ring. Yes. His experience there. Nuremberg Ring. Yes.
Oh, dear.
I really get those mixed up. do like and subscribe. If you're watching the video version of this, like and subscribe anyway. Yes, the video screwed up. Yes, I completely killed Kim's camera. My fault. Don't hold that against her. she needs the validation of subscribers to help her get through her day.
Otherwise, I'm a sad, lonely hermit.
Exactly. Exactly. So yes, please like, subscribe. Also check us out on Facebook. We are on Twitter, formerly known, X, formerly known as Twitter, something like that.
Right.
We're kind of everywhere and anywhere and yet nowhere. We will be back next Sunday. In the meantime, Kim, give us a shout out.
Alrighty. I'm going to shout out our two shouters we had in today, because for a while there, I didn't think anyone was going to show up. But Boomer and Lord, thanks for dropping by and keeping the chat going and, you know, keeping us entertained in the chat. It's always nice. So shout out to you, Greg. It's fun. Like always, we got our therapy session in for the week, so that's always good.
I needed the therapy. I really did, despite the camera issue. I get to see your smiling face, so there's that.
Yeah, you know, thank you.
Yeah, and we'll put out the audio version for everybody to hear the glorious show. And it'll sound like nothing was wrong. That's the best part.
Well, hopefully, because I guess last weekend we were low and Robin was high, so.
Well, yeah, see, this is, you know, okay, so video screwed up or audio screwed up. And I'll lean towards, you know, I'll take the video screw up over the audio screw up.
Because,
yeah.
Right, because I've been yelled at
also,
a few times for that one. So
I just for the audience's sake, I killed that horrible swooshing thing. The transition. Did. Yeah, dead. I killed that thing, at least on my British show, because it regardless of whether you kill the sound or not, it still cuts people's audio off.
Right.
And I did hear it last week and I saw it and it was comical because I'm like, oh, the swoosh is back. Yep. That's what we're calling it. We're calling it the swoosh. I don't know what some transition name he gave it that makes it sound nice and fancy.
Right.
It's an annoying swoosh.
Right.
Yeah. Love Robin. We love you. We do.
We do. Yes. And, you know, I'm glad that you made this all easier for you guys to figure out for the most part. Cause you know,
yeah, easier is definitely depending upon the day of the week and the time.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I renamed our OC WhatsApp group to the Starfield all the time. So
I did not. I will have to check this out. I like it. Okay.
Yeah, because it was going off all weekend, and every time I'd pop it up, it was somebody else talking about Starfield. I'm like, you know what I'm gonna do?
And it really is the amazing thing about the Starfield experience is everything out. I mean, it's gonna sound horrible. It's gonna make the game again sound not all that appealing. But it's all the stuff happening outside of it. The discussions about workarounds and tweaks and things you can do in the game that you didn't realize you could do. Those conversations are as entertaining as the game is sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And the game is entertaining. Don't get me wrong. But
because Mark's new ship looks like a penis. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, it is not shocking to me. It's not shocking at all.
Right.
Yeah. Mark and Barack Obama had secret fetishes.
There you go. So there you go. Out. I'm going to shout out our OC. Well, it was What's Next. Now it's the OC Starfield chat. So thanks, guys, for letting me jump in there and make fun of you all, because I was calling them nerds yesterday, because I swear to God, every time it would ding and I'd look up, it was Starfield this and look at my ship and da-da-da-da-da. So
you don't get to make fun of us, bunny girl. You don't. You are investing in bunny suits, so get to make fun of us.
Well, you know, Mark's buying dick-shaped spaceships, so you know, I think he's got the bigger problem than I do, just saying. But anyway, that's
there's so many
me.
Comments I want to make. Mark, I love you. I'm not gonna make them.
Anyway, that's it for me. I hope everybody has a good week, and over to Tank Top. So
yeah, well, shout out to you, Kim. Thank you for being on the show.
Sure.
Robin, I hope you're having a blast in Cologne. Hopefully you're not under house arrest and facing trials. Pete, keep up the great work on the boat. Very excited. Also just excited it has not sank yet.
Right.
This is like milestone stuff. So the fact that he's kept the boat above water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, I would really love to see him invest in a motor that was faster than 4 miles an hour.
Right.
It still seems very limiting to me, but I'm not going to pass judgment. I love the work he's doing. His little, I forgot the name of his show, Rudders and Tillers, Tillers and Rudders, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's good stuff. It's just an inside look into Pete on top of it all, which we love Pete. So, all right. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for being in the chat. We will come back next week. We promise. And in the meantime, we're going to get out of here so we can go watch football.
Right.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. We'll be right back. see you same time next week.